So if you want to open your Bibles to 3 John 2, and then if you also want to open your Bibles to 1 Kings 3. 3 John 2, 1 Kings 3. We're going to be talking about as your soul prospers. Third John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Tonight I want to talk about how that our circumstances and how we see them is directly related to the state of our soul. So if how I view something a lot of times depends on maybe how I was brought up. Sometimes I will see things a certain way because that was the way that everyone saw it. It's just the way it was. And so my thinking, I didn't have to work hard to think a certain way. It just, I was a product of how I was brought up. So my soul was a certain way, or is a certain way, because of how people around me thought and talked and walked and did things. So that's how I picked up on things. Children are very smart. They watch what's going on and they imitate it. And that affects who they become. That's why it's so important that children are in church at an early age. It's why it's so important that they have the Word of God and to know that God loves them at an early age, because that frames their perspective on their world at a very young age. It's a lot easier for a child to know that God loves them when they've had a clean slate and all they've heard is God loves them, compared to somebody that maybe has been through, heard hurtful words throughout their life, experienced hard times, and then when they hear that God loves them, they have to process that more because they don't know if it's true or not, because they haven't experienced as much, you know, love. And so it makes it a little bit harder sometimes for some people to really believe that God loves them. But you have this child, and that's all they know. That's their environment that they grew up in. It's really super easy. If they're in church every week, as they get older, and they're having the Word put into them, it's just part of their life. You don't ask them, hey, do you want to go to church today? They don't know any better. They just get up, get their clothes on, get ready, and go to church because that's just what you do. I can remember I was always in church when the doors were open. That was just the way it was. And I'm thankful for that today, because you know what? It's not hard to be in church when the doors are open, because that's all I knew. So your environment will affect your soul, the way you think, the way you process information. So what we want to end up doing for our soul to prosper is we need to renew our mind to see things the way that God sees it. And the more that we begin to see things the way God sees things, the more our soul prospers. And then in turn, our health prospers, and our finances prosper, and our life in general, all areas prosper. But it comes from lining up our beliefs and our way of looking at life according to the way the Bible says to do it. So let's look at 1 Kings 3, verse 5. Solomon had just given this beautiful sacrifice to the Lord. And so the Lord was talking to Solomon. He appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" There are times in our lives that God will, he's so happy with the fact that you are coming on Wednesdays, coming on Sundays, doing everything that you can to be a blessing to him and to honor him and to esteem your relationship with him, that there's times that he just says, "What do you want? Ask of me." And so this is one of those times that God was just so pleased with Solomon. "What do you want from me?" And Solomon talks about how God was so good to his father. And now he has all this responsibility. And he says in verse 9, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So his call was for wisdom. "God, would you give me wisdom?" Well, wisdom is also related to your soul, how you process things, how you do things. "Give me wisdom." It pleased God so much, the thing that Solomon had asked him. God was like, you could have asked for riches. You could have gone after power. You could have asked me to get rid of all of your enemies. You could have done all these things, but instead you asked for wisdom. And that pleased God so much that it says in verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to your words." So he gave him that wisdom. And then as you go on, it says, "See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." So he promised to give him long life. He promised to prosper him, to give him honor, respect, all the things that a man longs for. God was like, "You can have it all because you asked for wisdom." And so it pleases God for us to walk in wisdom. Now, you can say, "Well, yes, that's why I'm going to college. That's why I got a degree. I am getting wisdom so I can get a better job, so I can go out there and make good money. Yes, I'm doing it the way that God told me to do it. I am asking for wisdom." And you do see that people that tend to have college degrees, a lot of times they can get a good job. You can't be an architect as easy without a degree, can you? It's a little bit harder. Greg's an architect. So he couldn't have been that if he didn't get a degree in that. So because he got that degree, he can get jobs in that field. If I tried to be an architect, they would say, "Okay, well, you're sadly lacking in a few things that are necessary to be an architect because I have no clue." And, you know, that's okay because I'm not supposed to be an architect. So, but my point is you can go and get this wisdom, but it's not just supposed to be wisdom that's based on man's thinking. Today we see over and over and over this is what all the scholars think is this. And so this is how you should raise your children, because all the scholars have come together and said, this is the right way to raise your children. That's fine if it lines up with the Bible. But if it doesn't line up with the Word, and you're doing what the scholars said to do, but you're not doing what the Word says to do, then you're not going to get the effect that you're supposed to have in raising your children, because you're not actually doing it God's way. So there's man's wisdom, and man's wisdom is okay as long as it lines up with God's wisdom. But what we really want is God's wisdom. And so it's important for us to look to God and to His Word. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's very important for us to esteem God's word, to value His what He has to say on something, to put more emphasis on the way He would do it than maybe the way everybody else is doing it, if what they're doing doesn't line up with the word. And so as Christians, it's so important for us to figure out what is God's best. What does God have for us? How does He view these things? I want to encourage you, Proverbs is amazing. If you want your soul to prosper, read Proverbs. It is full of wisdom. It's wisdom on marriage. It's wisdom on raising your family. It's wisdom on how you should look at yourself, how you should esteem yourself. You're the righteousness of God. The righteous are blessed. And it talks about that. It tells you how to see yourself, what you should expect as a child of God, how you should view yourself. That begins to make you strong and make you walk with your head held high. And you're, you know, hey, how you doing? Yeah. You know, instead of, oh my gosh. You know, you're so shy. You don't want anyone to look at you. Oh, please don't look over here. Don't call on me. Don't, you know. No, I mean, you're just confident. Why are you confident? Because you know who you are in God. Proverbs has so many things about how you should be prosperous. It talks about it over and over and over. It talks about being diligent. Sometimes we're not prosperous because we're not diligent. I can remember this one lady. I'm telling you, she had miracle after miracle after miracle happen in her life financially. And yet she was always living month to month. She never got ahead. And yet she could give you some very, very amazing testimonies of how she made it through that month. But she never got ahead. And I worked with her for a period of time, and I realized that there were just some basic things that were natural wisdom that she was not doing. And so because of that, the money kept falling through her fingers. And so therefore, whenever there was a catastrophe that happened, she didn't have anything to pull from. And so all of these big blessings were always to cover the catastrophe that just happened in her life. And I realized that's where her faith was. That's how she saw life. She never saw herself having the blessing to put it in a savings account, to put it set aside for a rainy day. That was not how she operated. But you know what? That was how she had been brought up. So that's not to fault her in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying is that as your soul prospers, as you see yourself having a savings account, you begin to put money in a savings account. because you expect it. You think it's okay to have one. But if you see yourself struggling to get to the next step, that is what you're going to continually be doing, because you're expecting to have enough to get to the next place, but you're not expecting to have more than enough. And so your faith isn't there to believe for more than enough. You're just believing to get through that month. And so as your soul prospers, as you see, oh my goodness, Malachi 3:10, the windows of heaven are supposed to be opening up. All right, the windows are not open right now, God. Or if they are, I'm missing it. It's landing on someone else. So help me to be in the right place so it'll land on me. You know, to go with that expectancy, to begin to shape how you see yourself based on how God sees you rather than your circumstances see you. And so Ephesians 3:19, you can just look on your sheet for this one. It says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's talking about that I may know the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So as I know more about Christ, as I know more about his love for me, I am going to walk in the fullness of God. I'm going to start seeing myself the way that God sees me, and I'm going to start acting the way that God sees me. And, you know, teenagers, they go to school, and there's the popular crowd. And if you're in the popular crowd, great. But even then, sometimes the popular crowd is still feeling very insecure. And they're trying to keep themselves in the popular crowd, and they compromise on things that in order to stay in that popular crowd. But as teenagers, sometimes if you're not in that popular crowd, you can begin to see yourself as second. Sorry about that. You can start seeing yourself as second best, not the way that God doesn't see you. He doesn't see anyone in here as second best. He sees you as royalty. He sees you as children of the Most High. And so that's how he's seeing you. He never sees you. When I was growing up, you had the goat ropers. They were kind of the cowboyish, but because I don't know why they called them goat ropers. And you had the rednecks, and I'm not quite sure where all that came from. Then you had the heavy metal rockers, and, you know, they had, this is 80s, so, you know, they had the frizzed hair and the punk and the tight little rainbow-looking pants and all this stuff and kind of flare. It was a sight, you know. And then you had the popular, and I remember in the yearbook there was the most likely to succeed, the least likely to succeed, all that. You know, there's all of these things to define you in high school. And if you're not careful, you keep that definition with you the rest of your life. And you don't want to hold on to those definitions a lot of times. Because you know what? When you have a 14-year-old telling you who you are, that 14-year-old has no clue because they haven't experienced life. So if they think that you're never going to amount to anything, what do they know? They haven't experienced life. And down the road, you know, you see the one that was the nerd, and they're the real, you know, financially set person because they were actually went to college and were smart and was able to get a really good job. And then the person that was really popular and dropped out of high school, and, you know, you go to the reunions and, you know, a lot has changed 30 years later, you know. So when a 14-year-old says, you know, you're weird, you just kind of shrug it off and say, oh, okay. see me in 30 years. That's the kind of attitude that you want to have, is like, I don't care what, I'm not going to let that determine how I see myself. That's not going to affect my soul. That's not how I'm going to view life. A prosperous soul is one that esteems the word of God. But not only does he esteem it, he acts on it. There are so many people that hear the word and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, and it's not working in their life. But if they were honest with themselves, they're not acting on it either. It's like it goes in, they think they understand it, and they do to a degree, but they still don't think that they are capable of having it or living it or it working in their life. If that weren't the case, when you hear things like some of the things that Jim has been preaching on, taking a day off, and you see it in the Word, and he's gone through and explained certain things, but we can hear that, but unless we really say, I can do that because it's in the Word, a lot of times we just, yeah, that's right. But we don't act on it, and so therefore it doesn't change our soul. It doesn't change our perspective. It doesn't change how we look at life, because we haven't made the choice to act on it. So it doesn't matter how much I know up here. If it's not affecting my life, I might as well not know it, because I'm not reaping the benefit of it. So when you come and hear the word, there's going to be times where all of a sudden a light's going to go off in your head, and you're like, that's me. That's me. That's for me. I can do this. I can be like this. And then you start walking it, and you see a change in your life. And, you know, I'm going to throw this out. There's only so much of the word that you can ponder and meditate on and make changes. We don't change all of our life in 1 year. It's a line upon line. We grow. So I may have grown to a certain point in an area, but then next year I'm going to be even further. If I keep applying myself, I'm going to be further. And so I want to encourage, sometimes there's this need of, well, if I just had more word, if I just had more word, I would be healthier, I would be wealthier, I would be more full of joy, my marriage would be better, my children would be better, all I need is more word. But I want to encourage you that that's not always the truth. In fact, a lot of times, it isn't the truth. Sometimes we can have so much word that we're overwhelmed as to what part do I act on right now. If I have 15 things that I know I'm supposed to do, I can't change all 15 at one time. I need to focus on one area and build a foundation, and then just keep expanding on that foundation. And so I think now you can listen to Christian TV 24/7. And there's a lot of really good sermons out there that are right on, and you can see it. It's in the Word. I know it's true. But I can't change all those areas all at the same time. And so I want to encourage that listen to what God is having you to listen to. Follow him as to what he is having you to go after. Because as you do that, he knows what area needs to be changed first. He knows what is the most important thing in your life right now. And so he will keep directing you and leading you and guiding you. And so in your zealousness for God, listen and pay attention. Maybe it's not that that message isn't a good message, but maybe it's not for now. Maybe put that on hold for a little bit. What area, God, do you really want me to focus on? What do you have for me right now that you're going to help me change? I can remember going to Rhema, and, you know, you're in so much Bible. It's awesome. It's very good, but it was preparing me for down the road on certain things that I was going to need, you know, once we came out here to do. But I can remember at different points feeling like, oh my goodness, I need to pray this amount of time. I need to have this going on in my life right now, and I need to be walking in love. And there were so many things that I was trying to change all at once, and finally I got to the point where I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to change? Let's focus there. And that is when I began to see him actually being able to do things in my life. And I started seeing change coming. Not necessarily overwhelming change that, oh, wow, you've really changed a lot, you know, from yesterday. It wasn't necessarily like that, but it was still things that were beginning. I began to see truths. God began to reveal certain things in me. And one thing I realized is that it really makes it hard to change something if you don't have a revelation of it. If you don't see it for yourself, if you don't see that you're the head and not the tail, it doesn't matter how much, you know, you could have every teacher at school telling you, you're an awesome student, Mary Grace. You're amazing. But on the inside, you're like, nah, not really. I know all of you have seen the teenage girl that, how do I look? And you're like, you look beautiful. And she's like, no, I don't. Look at this. And then, no, look at that. No, seriously, you look great. And they will go for 15 minutes telling you how, you know, this one little tiny flaw that you really had to, like, get a microscope to look at was just so horrendous. And you're like, seriously, get over yourself, you know? But so sometimes my point on that was that we want to get a revelation of how God sees us and stay focused on that. And then as we see how he sees us in the area of prospering, we will begin to start prospering in that, the way that we see that he sees us. If I begin to realize I am a child of God, why can't I have this? Then I begin to expect maybe to be able to go shopping for an outfit every once in a while. You know, maybe that's okay. All of us are at different places in that life. Sometimes it may be, maybe I don't need to go shopping for that outfit today because I should put it in savings. And so God's dealing with us in different ways where we're at, and we're following after him and allowing him to prosper our soul. But if you can't see it in your soul, it makes it very hard for you to act on it. That's why it says, prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. If the word is not changing the way you see yourself, then you will not see the change in those areas that you're believing for. Let's take casting your cares on the Lord. Bible says to do it. And yet, how many Christians have the hardest time to just walk carefree? You're worrying about this at work, worrying about this at home, you know, worrying about what people may say, worrying about what is going on in your family. If you continue to worry about these different things, you're not casting your care on God. And yet, that's what God told us to do. I can remember Brother Hagin said that was one of the first things that he said, okay, God, if I see it in your word, I'm going to do it. And he came across casting your cares on the Lord. And he didn't do it because he came from a family that's all they did. They worried. He said they were champion warriors. And he came from a good stock of warriors. And so that's how he approached life. He could not get further revelation until he went back and took care of that and allowed himself to see that he did not have to worry, that he didn't have to be afraid of everything and be overcautious on everything. He began to say, okay, Lord, I put that on you. Got to the point where people thought, is he too stupid to understand he needs to be worried right now? You know, because of different situations that he was facing. And he was like, no, I'm too smart to worry, because if I'm worrying, then God can't take care of the situation, because I'm trying to take care of it and I don't know how to take care of it, so I might as well let him do it. And he got that revelation, and then God started working in other areas in his soul. So a prosperous soul is one that esteems the word of God and acts on it. A prosperous soul is one that believes the word of God more than the circumstances, more than the way that men see it. So a prosperous soul will say, this may be the way that everyone else is doing it, but the Bible tells me to do it this way. And so instead of, okay, I'm going to do it the way everyone else is doing it because of all the pressure to do it this way, the prosperous soul will be like, no, this is the way I'm doing it. And everyone's like, are you crazy? Don't you know? Don't you know you should be doing it like this over here? And you're like, no, because the Bible says. Let me tell you, women, there is a way that the Bible says to have a relationship before marriage. And it is not living with the person before you get married. And yet, the world says that's the way it has to be done. And yet, a lot of those women never get married because the man's not motivated to marry him because he's getting what he wants without being married. Anyways, those are the kind of things that are pulling. Okay, am I going to do it? Well, that sounds really good. You know, test it out. Figure out if you're compatible. Let's see if it works, because, you know, if it doesn't work, then we can just go our separate ways. The people who get hurt the most a lot of times are the women. They're the ones stuck with the children and no spouse. Anyways, that's good for you guys in a few years, okay? So you hold on to that. That's one very good reason why you don't go and live with someone. Because if they haven't said, I do, yes, they can still leave if you're married, but it's a lot harder, and they have to go to court, and so then they have to give you money. And so, trust me, that's better than the other way. All right, so, all right, maybe somebody will listen to this online and it'll be right for them. We'll see. But Gloria Copeland said this, and I put it on your sheet. God's word does not change. God's will does not change. If you want to receive from God, you are the one that has to change your believing and your saying to agree with him. And so a prosperous soul is one that will not quit in the face of circumstances either. A prosperous soul does not say, oh, it's just too hard. I've been believing God for 15 years for my toe to be better, and it's still not any better. I quit. A prosperous soul says, you know what? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I'm healed, and so therefore I'm healed. Amen. I'm healed. And you stand and you stay solid on that, and you don't care what the circumstances are telling you. And most of the time, if you get that kind of, I've got it, it's mine, and you get that kind of, no, Malachi 3:10 says the windows of heaven are going to open. They're opening for me. You get that kind of, that's mine. It will come to pass. But it's when we keep waffling like, well, I don't know. The circumstances are saying, the doctors are saying, you know, my symptoms are saying. No, I don't care what my symptoms are saying. I don't care what the doctors are saying. The fact of the matter is, they're telling me what they see, but that is not what God says. So, who's right? Who's right? God. I like how Keith Moore says, I'd rather die in faith believing than having given up and die. At least you can go to heaven and say, well, I did my best to believe. Not, well, I quit. Hi, Jesus, I quit. I gave up on your word. I didn't think it was going to work. No, God, I'm dead, but I really tried. I died believing. I didn't do it quite right, obviously, because I'm dead, but at least I was believing. You know, why quit? Why quit? You know, see yourself the way that God sees you. I'm going to say one other thing. There's just a lot of stuff that's out there right now. I've mentioned this a little bit in youth group. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care how rich, how poor you are. God sees you all the same. And your ending can all be the same. Prosperous, healthy, great marriage, good job, happy with life. It does not matter that you grew up in the hood. Who cares? That's not how God sees me. I'm not a hood person. It doesn't matter that I grew up in the country. Oh, you're just a dumb country folk. I'm not dumb at all. You may think I'm dumb, but if you aren't living for God, I think you're dumb. Because I'm going to heaven. So that's a pretty smart decision that I made. And so, you know, it gives you this confidence. It doesn't matter how you see me. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, your soul gets to the point where you are so prosperous that you walk with your head high and you look at people in the eye and you don't care what they think about you. Amen. Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine? You know? This is how God sees me. I may only have a slingshot, but you're going to be dead. I'm going to overcome. And so you just keep with that kind of attitude. You keep fighting and going at life, not like, oh, I'm the, you know, I always think it's funny because movies a lot of times show this underdog. Well, we squeaked out a victory, but it was barely, but we won. But it was like this huge, big effort, and you barely got the victory, but at least you got it. Uh-uh. That is not how God sees us. He sees us as all of heaven working on our behalf, backing us up, and we're going with a force behind us, causing us to do what God has told us to do, and we stand, and we keep doing it until what this says has come to pass. And then we don't have to keep standing because it already came to pass. And so whether it's healing, whether it's having your needs met and the windows of heaven prospering you so much that you can give to every good work, whatever it is, whether it's I have joy all the time, I'm never worried about anything, however it is, you stand with your head tall. You are prospering as your soul prospers. And so I am going to endeavor to have my soul seeing what the Bible says and then believing it about me. I don't care that some non-Christian has more money than I have right now. That has nothing to do with anything. That's a distraction. Don't look at that. Who cares? What does the Bible say about me? And you have that confidence in just that, I'm going to get it, I'm going to have it, I'm going to win, I'm going to have everything that God said that I could have because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to win. And you just hold on to that. Don't let anything else sway you. Don't look to everything else. Who cares what's going on in politics? Jesus didn't preach politics. He preached the word. He didn't say you could only prosper if so-and-so was in office. He said you can prosper no matter what. There may be persecutions, and that we do pray for, that the right person gets in office so that there's not persecutions on the church, so we can still keep giving to have the gospel out there, to be able to do what, so that they can't shut us down to where we have to go into hideout mode, So those kind of, politics is important in that kind of sense. But at the same time, my prosperity is not linked to who's in office. My self-esteem is not linked to who's in office. My joy is not linked to who's in office. What my joy and my peace and my life is centered on is Jesus. And when I have that understanding, I don't care what's going on around me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And they can't pull you into all of these debates, and who cares? I mean, we care because we want God's word to go forth. But that's the big thing. That's the thing that's important. And we preach God, the good news, because that's what people need to hear. And that's going to affect our world. And as soon as everybody hears, we're out of here. So let's get on it. What are we waiting for? Here, you go tell your friends, I'll go tell my friends, and let's get out of here, all right?